This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, and American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby.
Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois Bread, the Pizza Man just won the Arlington Million under Marlon Giroux.
Presented by Abracadabra Farm, Adina Springs, Airdrie Stud, American Racehorse Magazine, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainesway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Tollgate Hay and Straw, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
One final try, down to the finish, Noble Bird, Lee, here's the winner, Noble Bird! Fantastic in the Foster!
It's American Pharoah with that majestic prize, pouring it on through the stretch. Keen Ice runs in the second. American Pharoah, the party continues as he rolls home in the Haskell.
Now here's Anthony Stabile and Jude Feld.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I am the Big A, Anthony Stabile, up at beautiful Belmont Park, watching the horses train on this wonderful morning here in the Big Apple. Big day of racing here in New York. Five graded stakes, two Breeders' Cup win and you're in races. Again, I am here at Belmont Park, high atop the finish line. Down in our Lexington, Kentucky studios is the pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld, and our producer to the stars here at HRRN, the one and only Lee Della Pina. Jude and I filling in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna, who will join us later on today on our coverage of all of those Breeders' Cup win and you're in challenge races from 5 to about 8:15 p.m. right here on Sirius XM 93. Acacia Courtney and myself will have the coverage from Belmont Park. Mike and Jeff Bloom, all five races from Santa Anita. We got plenty on tap this morning, though, for HRRN Nation, Jude.
Yeah, lots of great racing today, and the coverage this evening is going to be off the hook. All those great races across the country, and winning your ins. Breeders' Cup is here, dude.
It certainly is, dude, and I'm looking forward to this weekend, of course, next weekend as well. The traditional Super Saturday here at Belmont's next weekend, combined with Fall Stars weekend down at Keeneland, opening weekend of Keeneland next weekend, so, and of course, the Breeders' Cup World Championships will be run at Keeneland for the first time, Friday, October 30th, and Saturday, October 31st, and of course, you know who has your coverage, Jude. We got you right here covered at HRRN. I know you'll be down there in the midst of all the coverage. Can't wait to be part of all of that coverage. It's going to be a fantastic week. And beginning Tuesday, October 27th, our HRRN team will bring you more than 20 hours of Breeders' Cup Week coverage. It all starts with our Breeders' Cup Countdown shows presented by your Lexington, Kentucky area Jimmy John's every morning from 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday of Breeders' Cup Week. And you'll hear every Breeders' Cup race exclusively on HRRN Friday and Saturday, presented by Cal Density. If you want to see a complete Breeders' Cup Week schedule, head over to horseracingradio.net. Oh, seven win and you're in races, like we discussed earlier. We'll have some guests on today throughout to talk about some of the main contenders and those. Ned Toffee will be here, the general manager at Spencer Farm. He will talk about the one and only Beholder and really, you know, an unbelievable run that she's been on, especially at her home base at Santa Anita. She'll look to win the Zenyatta for the third year in a row later on today at Santa Anita. Ken Ramsey from Ramsey Farms will join us, talk about Big Blue Kitten. He won this race, and this race being the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic. back in 2004, what has to be his favorite horse. I've never asked him this, but I would have to assume Kitten's Joy is his favorite horse. Won this way back in 2004, 11 years ago. We'll try to do it again today with Big Blue Kitten as well as Shining Copper. We'll have Mr. Ramsey on towards the end of the first hour. Mike Hammerly, racing secretary out at the Great Race Place at Santa Anita, sat down with the Baron yesterday. We'll have that interview for you at the top of the 9 o'clock hour. And then Doug O'Neill has four in today, but the focal point of his day, you'd have to think, will be Nyquist, who will look to run his record to a perfect 4-for-4 with a win in the Grade 1 front runner, a race that American Pharoah won pretty impressively last year, and Texas Red finished third en route to an upset score in that Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show with those guests. I mean, those are guys that know the game, know their horses, and can really have some input as to the festivities today. And we all have our eyes on the Breeders' Cup as it's fast approaching. As you mentioned, Fall Stars weekend at Keeneland next weekend. I think those races are going to be off the hook with a lot of trainers and owners looking to get a race over the track for their Breeders' Cup stars, and then Super Saturday, which I'm sure you are looking forward to, being the New York guy that you are. Some more fantastic races there. So we've got a lot of stuff going on, and it's an exciting time of year. It's getting to the end of the road. It's put up or shut up time, and a lot of people trying to angle into those Breeders' Cup races, and really looking forward to the next couple of weeks. How about the Breeders' Cup? How about the Breeders' Cup announcing the pick six is going to be a buck instead of two?
That's, I did not know that.
Yeah, they announced it. They announced it yesterday. That's going to change the complexion of things.
I mean, it sure will. This certainly makes up for me having to get up early to host the Equine Forum with you this morning. Now I'm happy.
You weren't happy before.
I was. Now I'm happier. I am happy. I love this. Who am I kidding? I love the sport no matter how early I have to get up. But I'm really happy now. I remember when they had the pick seven back in the mid-90s, they made it a buck. But, yeah, of course, they threw a monkey wrench in by adding the seventh race.
Right.
But a pick six for a buck—that's a fantastic idea, and I'm glad they announced that.
Yeah, well, that's the worst part of playing the pick six is that when you get to the end of your ticket and you have to multiply by two.
Absolutely.
That's intriguing. That's going to allow a lot more people to play. It probably won't be conducive to carryovers, but I don't really think the Breeders' Cup cares about the carryovers that much because they don't really do anything for them. Usually what happens is the carryover on Classic Day goes to the track the next day if it's like
there
that.
There is no next, but there is but no the, next day. They're going to have to disperse it.
That's it. It's a must pay, so that's a good deal. I mean, a buck is reasonable, and you could actually put in a ticket with 200 combinations or 300, depending on how crazy you get. It's interesting. It's a good move. I think I'm ordinarily not in favor of these lower amounts of wagers because it really dilutes the payouts. You know, it's changed the way that I play. When they moved the pick fours to 50 cents, I don't play nearly as many pick fours. It's harder to make money. More people can have the tickets, you know?
Yeah, I actually like the 50 cent pick fours, but that's a story for another day. I've hit a lot more since they went to 50 cents than I used to hit for a buck. So I like the 50 cent pick fours. We have an action-packed show here, folks, but we want to get you involved, HRR and Nation. So the poll question for the morning is, told you there's seven Breeders' Cup winning year in races. Three of them have prohibitive morning line favorites. Rockfall in the Vosburgh here at Belmont, Beholder in the Zenyatta, and Songbird in the Chandelier out at Santa Anita. Of those three, which is one is the most likely to win? And, of course, you can tweet us at HRRN. Let us know your opinion. Let's take our first break. When we come back, we will have Ned Toffey from Spendthrift Farm. The Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, celebrating 10 years of award-winning coverage.
Are you a believer?
But it will be Justin Phillips to win the Vanderbilt by two.
32 lifetime starts, 23 in greatest stakes.
And Justin Phillips will do it. He was a monster in the mud.
12 times first or second in greatest stakes company.
And Justin Phillips will prove best in the Cal Fleet Sprint.
Justin Phillips retired sound, having recorded 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better and 3 times racking up rag sheet numbers of 2.25. Justin Phillips' first foals have arrived and are just like their daddy. Impressive, strong, and loaded with quality. Seeing is believing with Justin Phillips. Hashtag Justin Believers. Standing at Castleton Lions alongside multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Gio Ponti's first crop of yearlings averaged nearly $100,000 in 2014, and his first crop of racing age hit the track this year. Justin Phillips and Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com. Where is the thoroughbred industry growing and thriving? In the Midwest and Southwest, and only American Racehorse magazine covers Middle America from top to bottom. Each issue contains news from Oklahoma, Indiana, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and more, with features you won't find in any other publication. If you're a stallion owner or equine services provider looking for an affordable way to reach more than 6,000 readers, American Racehorse can help. Get a free sample issue at AmericanRacehorse.com.
Power.
And he's pulling away, and Frosted has won the Wood Memorial.
Passion.
Holding off Lee as they come down to the finish. Constitution of the Dawn.
Performance.
Ring Weekend and Drayden Van Dyke up to win the Kilroe.
Gainsway stallion Tappet has once again been sensational in 2015. The champion sire is North America's leading sire this year, represented by 4 2015 Grade 1 winners. Wood Memorial winner Frosted, Ring Weekend, who scored in the Frank E. Kilroe Mile, Don Handicap winner Constitution, and Untappable winner of the Apple Blossom at Oaklawn. Overall, Tappet has sired 17 lifetime Grade 1 winners, 40 graded stakes winners, 11 millionaires, and 6 champions. Tappet is also ranked number 1 in the sales ring in both North America and Europe, with 2015 yearlings averaging more than 952,000. Tappet, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Start now with your Cal Density Mare and Foal Feeding Program. Sales results were obvious at this year's Keeneland September Yearling Sale. Yearlings produced from mares fed Cal Density through their formative year were impressive, as well as horses trained and raced in 2014 and so far in 2015. Clean radiographs, conformity, strong bones, and overall health was the big winner at auction and on the track. Order your plan today at caldensity.com or call 877-744-9006 for more information.
This is Jockey Orlando Bocachica, and you are listening to the Hall Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They turn for home in the Pacific Classic, and it's Beholder. Gary Stevens just shakes the reins at her, and Beholder is opening up on them. Almost impossible to believe. She's turned this into an exercise gallop. Beholder is absolutely poetry in motion. Beholder and Gary Stevens didn't win it. They romped in the Pacific Classic. Catch a Flight second, then came Red Vine, Opportunity, Imperative behind that, then Hard Aces, Class Leader, Bailout Bobby, Brian, and Midnight Storm was last.
Trevor Denman on the call of the Pacific Classic. I'll steal one of his words. Beholder with a scintillating performance, her first against the boys, and it resulted in an absolute thrashing, an 8.25 length score in that 1.25 Pacific Classic last time out. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, joined by the Pontiff of the Pick Four, Jude Feld. We are sitting in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Penna, who is getting ready for our afternoon coverage out at the Great Race Place, Santa Anita, where they'll run 5 Grade Ones, all women you're in races, but all eyes will be, I believe, on the Great Race Mare Beholder. And nice enough now to join us is Ned Toffee, the general manager over at Spendthrift Farm, Herona. Ned, it's Anthony and Jude. Thanks for joining us this morning on the Equine Forum.
Thank you for having me.
Ned, let's get right to it, actually. Guys have been talking about, a lot of people have been talking about what Beholder is going to do. You announced earlier this week that, in fact, she will be pointed, provided all goes well today. She will be pointed to the Classic. She'd look to become the first horse to win three different Breeders' Cup events if she can beat the boys once again in that $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah, that would be pretty exciting. And she's given us a great ride thus far as it is, and really owes us all nothing. She's just been an unbelievable mare to be around. But that would really be something, and she's in the right hands. Richard has just brought her up to this so beautifully so far, and I think we all expected her to run well in the Pacific Classic, but I don't think any of us expected to see what we saw. So hopefully she can just continue that on.
And today in the Zenyatta, she's looking to win this for the third consecutive year. It's a pretty remarkable feat when you consider the Zenyatta is certainly one of the premier preps for the Breeders' Cup Distaff, which has been, a pretty salty event, especially the last 8 or 9 years.
Yeah, and it doesn't look like we scared too many people away. it's a pretty good field out there today, but hopefully she'll put in the kind of performance that we've grown accustomed to, and we'll be ready to move on to Lexington. So, but it looks like it's all the usual members out there, the cast, and she's going to have to go earn it again.
It seems like she's at the absolute top of her game. Her last two victories, 7 lengths and 8 1/4 lengths in the Pacific Classic, which was one of the most incredible races that I've ever seen. I'm so grateful to be at Del Mar that day and behold that performance. She's just better than ever, I think, right now. What do you attribute that to?
I would say a couple of things. One, genetics. It's just her. She's that mare's been a tremendous mare, produced Into Mischief, who's become a very successful stallion for us and was a very successful racehorse in his own right. And she's just, she's been very, very sound, and she's very well made. But I think in large part, probably the biggest part of it is Richard Mandela. He's just taken such good care of her at every step of the way, and he always puts her first. And he hasn't overused her in any one year. When she's needed time off, he's given it to her. He's just brought her along the right way. And if I wish people, for anybody who's interested in racing, and even especially the critics of racing, if you could spend just one morning in Richard Mandela's barn, a lot of the naysayers would change their tune. It's a pleasure to be around the way they do things and the care that's given. So Richard's just done such a beautiful job bringing her along that, again, knock on wood, she stayed very sound and a lot of that God put there, and a lot of it Richard has maintained. So.
How much do you think Richard has had to do with the fact that she's outrun her pedigree, so to speak? I'm not talking about quality of pedigree, but the fact that she's really not bred to run a step over 7 furlongs, and she now wins races going 1 1/4 miles like it's nothing. What is that? Is that Richard too, or is that just because she's a freak?
I think a combination. But I think you have to give a lot of credit to Richard. I can remember going back to her 2-year-old year where you're actually debating whether we should run her in the juvenile fillies or in the sprint, because back then we were, her pedigree suggested and we were feeling like maybe she was best at shorter distances, which is really a pretty striking statement when you fast forward to a few weeks ago and watch the 1 1/4 Pacific Classic. But I think that part of what's going on there is that early on she can be pretty wound up, pretty headstrong. And, you know, they asked Richard how she was to be around, and he said 95% of the time she's a sweetheart. But she's got this switch that when it gets flipped, she's a pretty tough customer. And early on, you would see where she looked like she was maybe a little bit of a speed crazy type, a little bit of a runoff. And I think that Richard's management of her has gone a long way to, rather than just letting that develop into a trend and just become her and all encompassing for her, he's just managed her so well and taken his time with her and just gradually increased these distances and never, again, he's never overdone it with her, and he just managed her so well. And so she's now really become almost a push button kind of a racehorse. And I think that for me is the biggest thing that was able to let her stretch out and get that mile and a quarter, is that she's so willing to just lope along and find a rhythm. And then when it's time to go, she goes. But she's so in tune with what Gary does with her. And I don't want to leave Gary out of this either. I mean, he fits her so well. They get along so well, and he does a beautiful job of just getting her to get out there and relax. And she's just become so professional, and really, I think push button is the best thing to describe her now. And that's. But again, I think that's a credit to the management of her.
So, speaking with Ned Toffee here, the general manager of Spendthrift Farm, Ned, she's 10-for-11 with a second place finish at Santa Anita, has earned over $3 million. You've been around the game a long time. Can you ever remember a horse at such a high level dominating a racetrack like she has?
No, I guess I really can't. And you know, that's always been a good surface for her. But I think one of the things that was fun to watch was that Del Mar was such a different racetrack than what a lot of horses were used to, and it was a much more tiring track, and she handled that so beautifully. So, you know, she has been dominating there, and I think. Again, that little switch that can flip on her has been one of the things that has worked against her a little bit. If you go back to the Kentucky Oaks, you always have a big raucous crowd there, and there was so much cheering going on as they approached the starting gate. She actually reared up and sat down right on the racetrack and unseated the rider. And still, for a lot of horses, that sort of would have been the end of it. Yet she still went out and stalked a really talented filly and sat just off the pace, and then just got run down by Princess of Silmar, who was no slouch in her own right. So, I think sometimes that intensity has worked against her when she's gone to other tracks. But I think that's getting to be less and less the case because she's so much more mature now than she used to be. But again, that, you know, right there on her home track, she's almost unbeatable. So knock on wood, let's hope that keeps going today.
You brought up some of the fillies that she ran against, namely in the Kentucky Oaks. You know, we've been honored and blessed in the last 8 or 9 years to come across some of the most fantastic fillies we're ever going to see. Havre de Grace, Inyata, Rachel Alexandra, Royal Delta come to mind. Where does Beholder rank? And I know this might be a better question to ask you guys in 5 weeks and a day when the Breeders' Cup Classic is all wrapped up, but where do you think she ranks with those fantastic fillies and mares we've gotten to see just in the last 10 years alone?
Well, not to state the obvious, but I am a little biased in this department. But that's tough to say. But you really have to put her right up there with the best of those now. And I think that the Pacific Classic put her squarely in that discussion. And if you'd asked me that before the Pacific Classic, I would have said that she ranks firmly a notch below those horses. But I think the Pacific Classic really put her in that discussion, and not just that she won, and not that just that she's the first filly to win, but that she destroyed them and the way she did it. And, you know, as I go back and I mean, you know, I can think of Rossi's Breeders' Cup, and then it also reminded me a little bit of Secretariat's Preakness. Everyone talks about his Belmont, but if you watch his Preakness, where early on he just decided to take off and blew by everybody and put the race away. It reminded, so those were really the only two races I can think of that reminded me of what we saw in that Pacific Classic. And that's pretty strong because I guess I've been doing this for a while now. So, but I, you know, it's tough to, it's one of the great things about this sport or any sport is that you get to sort of have that debate and you can sit down and say, well, you know, who wins in a match race and at what distance and everything else. And it's one of those that's wide open, you know, for discussion. But I think her, one of the things that you have to give her is, I mean, she's so tactical, and that really gives her an added dimension. She can go out and, you know, I think she could, if you had a race against all the greatest at, you know, other fillies, if you wanted to do it at 6 furlongs, you'd have to, you might have to give the nod to her. If you want to do it at 1.25 miles, you still have to say she'd be right there. So her versatility, her tactical speed, you know, I think that puts her squarely in the discussion. Tough to say, tough to rank them, but it's a fun debate to have, though.
Well, Ned, thanks for joining us this morning. Beholder will take on 8 other fillies and mares in the Grade 1 Zenyatta later on today at the Great Race Place, a race she'll be looking to win for the 3rd consecutive year and hopefully use as a springboard to another tilt with the boys in the $5 million Breeders' Cup Classic on October 31st. Ned, good luck today and the rest of the way with the Great Beholder.
Thank you very much, and thank you for having me.
Anytime. Thanks for joining us again. Ned Toffee, General Manager over at Spendthrift Farms. A legend in the making, Mr. Feld, the Great Beholder.
Yeah, she's obviously the queen of Santa Anita, maybe the all-time queen of Santa Anita. And on top of the fact that she's so talented, she's maybe the most beautiful filly or mare that I've ever seen. I mean, she's just striking, you know? Well, we talked about this on the show a few weeks ago, but, you know, actually, Jeff Blum and I talked about it the day of the Pacific Classic. You know, I don't know who your favorite actress is or favorite model or whatever, but, you know.
Kate Upton.
Kate Upton. She would be like the Kate Upton of fillies, you know. I said Scarlett Johansson. But I like Kate
Very
Upton,
similar.
Too. Either one.
Yeah.
I'll take either one.
Yeah,
but,
I'm with you.
But, I mean, just, you know, she's got that star-like quality that those two women have. And then she has this tremendous ability that is, you know, like Serena Williams-like. I mean, she's like the absolute most perfect athlete and confirmationally correct filly that I've seen in a long, 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 long time. And I love her to death. I think she's awesome. So I will be rooting for her today and in the Classic.
One of the best we've seen in a very long time. The Great Beholder. Again, like I said, a legend in the making. And speaking of legends, it's time now for the Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
This lady had a wealth of character, a marvelous, vibrant personality, and she was indeed an inspiration to others. She was a lady through and through, and in the roaring 1920s, while still in her 20s, she entered the world of racing as the owner of a steeplechaser. A racing stable, Brookmead, came into existence a few years later. She was adverse to pomposity and took great delight in needling and openly deflating an obvious inflated ego. Her infectious sense of humor provided her the tool for doing so, especially evident in times of stress. perhaps equally as synonymous with Brookmead Stable and its success were the names of Preston and Elliot Birch, who trained her horses. Preston began training for Our Lady of the Moment in 1944, and on October 21st of that year, he saddled her Dear Me for her in the Maryland Handicap at Laurel. Dear Me whipped the redoubtable Twilight Tear by 7 lengths in that affair, and that was Birch's first of a long, long list of stakes winners he saddled for Brookmead. Birch was very patient with young horses, and he and our subject probably received more thrills from a horse named Sailor than any other racing in her colors. That was in the decade of the 50s, while others racing in her colors included Sword Dancer, Bowl of Flowers, and Oligarchy. Her superb Flower Bowl won the Delaware Handicap in 1956, and on May 2, 1959, Sword Dancer won the Derby for her, while on the very same day, Big Effort won the Bed of Roses at the old Jamaica racetrack on Long Island. In 1934, Our Lady of the Day, as it were, became the very first woman in American turf history to lead the winning owners list. Her Bowl of Flowers was voted Philly Champion of 1960 and 61, and Sword Dancer was voted Horse of the Year in 1959. This marvelous lady dearly loved the thoroughbreds, and among the many greats carrying her silks to the winner's circle, she considered her best to have been Cavalcade, Sailor, Sword Dancer, and Bowl of Flowers. But she had a very soft spot for others, including Okapi, Sunglow, and High Quest. In 1934, and 16 years later in 1950, Brookmead was the leading money-winning stable in America. From 1925 until her demise in 1962, her horses won 1,144 races. As previously indicated, her trademark was her love for and the ability to jest with her trainers, the Birches. Before big races, she would often break the tension in the paddock by saying, for example, quote, "Do you think I should put on the blinkers today?" Or, quote, "Now you haven't put that saddle on right." When her jockey would appear, she could be heard to say, quote, "Now, Preston, you step back. I'm going to give the order on how to ride this horse today," with a twinkle in her eye, of course. And she would go on very solemnly to say, quote, "You just go on out and win this race today." If it was muddy, she would be quite apt to say, "Now, don't you dare get my colors dirty today." Yes, this grand lady, and that she was, in every sense of the word through and through, held to the sporting ideals with the best characterized racing to its very best, both in victory and defeat. The mistress of Brookmead Stable, and the subject of this piece, Isabel Dodge Sloan.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Lexus, once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
This is Tom Leach for Kentucky Bank's Wealth Management Department. Investing in today's world requires advice that is timely and responsive to your investment needs and objectives. At Kentucky Bank, we strive to provide you with our full range of investment services with the highest degree of service and to deliver it in a personalized and effective fashion. For a no-obligation review, call Clark Nyberg at 859-988-1318. That's Clark Nyberg, 859-988-1318. Call Kentucky Bank and call it home. I do.
Flatter, a graded son of AP Indy, continues to rank among leading sires. The sire of graded stakes horses in every crop, he consistently has runners at the highest level.
Upstart is pulling away, impressively, to win the Holy Bowl.
Kobe's back. Kobe's back is back. Wins it for Gary Stevens.
Powerful on the track and fashionable in the sales room, Flatter is from a top sire family. Flatter, at Claiborne Farm.
Don't miss one of the biggest days of the year, Saturday, September 26th, right here at Santa Anita Park. It's opening day of our 2015 Autumn Meet, and we'll have five Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Prep Stakes that will likely include two-time Eclipse champion Mare Beholder going after her third consecutive win in the Grade 1 Zenyatta at a mile and a 16th. First post time for a blockbuster 11-race card on opening day is at 12:30, so make plans to join us early. Visit SantaAnita.com for details. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Hi, this is Steve Buttleman, the official bugler at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Magistretti, who is in control, targeted now on the outside by Kitten's Joy, kicking Chris right there and behind, and Tycoon is ready to roll, and the field turns for home, and Magistretti now accelerating. Magistretti opens up, the lead is a length, Kitten's Joy set down for the drive, and here he comes now. Oh, and he's got plenty of run. Kitten's Joy taking the lead with an impressive turn of foot. Oh my, Kitten's Joy is just blowing Magistretti away in Tycoon. Oh, this is a very good three-year-old. Kitten's Joy wins by three emphatic lengths. Magistretti was second, and Tycoon was third. Farther back, Request for Parole was fourth.
The incomparable Tom Durkin on the call of the 2004 Joe Hirsch Turf Classic. It was an invitational back then, and it was won by Kitten's Joy, who we all know now is one of the top sires in all of the land. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I am the Big A, Anthony Stabile, joined by the Pontiff, Jude Feld, and you, HRRN Nation. Thanks for tuning in on this Saturday morning. A big day of racing on both coasts. Five Grade 1 women you're in races out at Santa Anita. We got five graded stakes here at Belmont today as well, including two winning urines, the Vosburgh Sprinting and the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic. And the 2-1 morning line favorite in that Joe Hirsch Turf Classic is the multiple graded Grade 1 winner, Big Blue Kitten. And nice enough to join us now is Mr. Ken Ramsey. Mr. Ramsey, thanks for joining us this morning on the Equine Forum.
Hey, Jude.
Hey.
You too, Anthony. Always good
to
be
on
RRN.
We thank you. Go ahead, Jude.
How are you? You having a good time?
Oh, having a great time. It's always great to be on your show and talk about my favorite subject, horses.
We were talking about you yesterday. We saw one running at, I believe it was Gulfstream, that we thought you might want to claim and run in the Sandy Lane Gold Cup. A son of Tappet was running down there. And looked like he might have had a little bit of a future. I said, I wonder if Mr. Ramsey's going to drop the slip, but I didn't see any claims, so you must have missed that one.
Tell you the truth, I did. I signed up yesterday. I ended up buying eight horses out of Keeneland trying to win that 2017 Derby. So, but the Barbados Gold Cup is on my mind. We're going down for a hat trick this year. It's always the first Saturday in March. We won it the last 2 years, and I've got some top-notch candidates for it. But anyway, I'm sorry I missed that one. Anytime you see a Tappet for claiming tag, I always take a close look at it.
Looking for the natural hat trick in that Barbados Gold Cup. Mr. Ramsey, what was it like with Kitten's Joy winning that Joe Hirsch Turf Classic back in 2004? That call had to bring back some memories.
Oh, that was right down memory lane. Tom Durkin is my favorite announcer of all time. He also gave a great call on Roses in May. When you won the Whitney Handicap, I even put that on my telephone, and I've also had the one you just put on there. I mean, that was emphatic and kind of stamped the horse, set him out, and of course, he did win the Eclipse Award that year, although he did lose the Breeders' Cup Turf out at Remington Park with quite a bit of fireworks out there that day. I always thought he was the best horse, but anyway, we got second, but he got a chance for his son to emulate him today.
Yeah, Big Blue Kitten. You know, he appeared to be slowing down a little bit at the end of last year, but he's really come roaring back this year at the ripe old age of 7, including that Grade 1 win in the United Nations.
Well, if anybody can keep him running a long time, it's Chad Brown. Of course, he's a protege of my old friend, Bobby Franco. He learned his lessons well, and he does a superior job. I named this horse Big Blue Kitten after my alma mater, UK, who, by the way, is going to beat Missouri tonight. But anyway, I got an offer I couldn't refuse. I got an offer I couldn't refuse from a KMS farm, so I have sold Real Solution along with the Big Blue Kitten to Brad Kelly over Calumet. So although he'll be running in my colors at the end of his career, he's going to be going to Calumet next year. So I hate to see him leave, but he'll be going from a good home probably to a better home.
So it looks like just two more races, provided all goes well today, this and then the Breeders' Cup Turf.
Brad Kelly and I will be talking. We may want to send him someplace else before he goes to the Calumet farm. We'll see how he runs the table the last two. He's the most consistent horse I ever owned. He's been in the money 25 out of 28 times, and one of those that he finished up the track was over at Royal Ascot when he didn't ship well. So he's going to be running at the end, and I hope he can catch a shining copper today. And if he wins today, he's a serious candidate for an Eclipse Award. Matter of fact, I think to get the Eclipse Award, all he has to do is to win the Breeders' Cup turf, and he'll be emulating his old man Kitten Joy by bringing home the Eclipse Award.
Now, what about Shining Copper? He looks like he's the lone speed, and he may be a little bit tough to run down.
Well, I hope that Big Blue can run him down, but he's in it to win it. Very good claim for $62,000, so we claim him strictly for this because although Big Blue Kitten is consistent, Joe Bravo seems to always have him just a little bit too far back, and he misses by neck, by neck, by neck, by head. I mean, it's terrible. I should have come up with this rabbit idea a long time ago. But I think the one to beat in the race today is probably Red Rifle. That horse is coming along really well. Todd's got him back on track, and he's probably going to come off the pace today. So he's probably going to be the rabbit will also help him as much as it will us.
You know, for being a rabbit, he's come awful close to two monumental upsets in the first two starts you've had him.
Well, I tell you what, both jockeys said that if they'd been riding to win and to raise him just a little bit, he could have probably hung on. But the goal was to set it up for a Big Blue Kitten. So, and that's the goal again today. But we're not going to try to be crazy and go out there and set a wild pace. Chad and I talked it over yesterday. So we do plan on him being on the lead today and keeping everybody else honest. But maybe he'll have enough to hang on. I mean, it's $600,000 purse. I'll take the money no matter if it's Shining Copper's name on it, a Big Blue Kitten. But naturally, I prefer a Big Blue Kitten to get the money.
Looking ahead, and you know, like you said, he'll be Big Blue Kitten will be going to Calumet at the end of his racing career. We know you always have something in the always an iron in the fire, and perhaps the best iron now in the fire is one named Camelot Kitten, who just happens to be last year's Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint champion Bobby's Kitten's little brother. He looked real good winning his debut at Belmont Park.
Yes, he did. Chad's real high on him. We've got him set up to run out here in the Bourbon Stakes at Keeneland. That's a win and you're in. I've got two or three other two-year-olds which also have won pretty impressively. So we got one called, we got one called Legend of the Kitten. If you snooze, you lose. Irish Colonel. So I expect to have something in the two-year-old race as well. But I think my biggest shot probably of winning a Breeders' Cup race is probably with Bobby's Kitten. And we've got him nominated both to the Shadwell Mile and the Woodford Sprint. Not exactly sure which one he'll go in. Chad and I are discussing it. We think basically he's probably better sprinting because he's real hard to he's so fast. He's real hard to race. So rather than choking a horse back and trying to get him back to come from off the pace, we may just let him go in the sprint and do his thing. I'm planning on standing him here at the farm. He's going to be the backup for Kitten's Joy probably this coming year because I got so many mares. I want to have to pay a fortune to breed them to everybody else's stallion. So Probably breed a bunch of them to Bobby Skiffin this coming 2016 breeding season.
Well, he figures to be such an outstanding stallion with his speed and his ability to carry it. One of my favorite horses. I got to ask you about another two-year-old you have. We saw yesterday, Baby Bear Soup. Now, you gave this one to Pletcher, so I was reading between the lines, and I figured you must really like this when you give it to Todd Pletcher.
Well, we try to spread the joy around. This one wasn't getting joy, but I was a little bit disappointed. This horse, when we bought him, that's why he got his name. He they told me he wasn't too short, and he wasn't too tall, he wasn't too this, and he wasn't too that. Hey, Baby Bear Soup. He doesn't try. So I'm a little disappointed yesterday. He finished seventh. Didn't get a chance to talk to Todd to see if it was a problem or not, but ran a little green. So anyway, I've got him, and I've got Hint of Roses, who also ran a disappointing race first time out. Now, that's a real good one out of Kitten's Joy's half-sister by Tappy. So I probably could have sold him for over $1 million, but we got high hopes for him. He ran green the first time out also. And I got another good two-year-old called Pinson that could be on the Derby trail. So I'm loaded with two-year-olds. All we need to do is get a little break with them, and hope we'll be on the Derby trail next spring.
We needed the red and white silks to get the red roses there for Saturday in May.
I keep naming them a Hint of Roses and all that, letting everybody know, you know, that that's the goal. That's the bucket list that's not been fulfilled yet.
Well, we know if anybody's going to keep on going after that Kentucky Derby, it's you, Mr. Ramsey. We thank you for a few minutes of your time this morning on an action-packed Saturday, and wish you nothing but the best of luck with both Big Blue Kitten and Shining Copper today in the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic.
I won't be up there myself, but I got my grandson Nolan and his girlfriend are up there, and my granddaughter Becky and her husband Jeremy, and my great-granddaughter Ella is representing me at Belmont today, and me and Catherine going over Churchill Downs. We have a couple in the stake race over there today, Wayward Kitten and Watch Your Own Bobber. So maybe they can get the job done in the Jefferson Cup, and everybody can have a smile on their face before the sun goes down.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. Hopefully the red and white are in winner's circles all across the country today. Have a good day, and thanks for those few moments of your time this morning.
Thank you very much. Enjoy being on. Bye-bye.
Mr. Ken Ramsey. Not too many like him, Jude.
No, he's a classic. He loves this business. I've never met an owner that's so into it. He does everything that you can do in horse racing, pretty much. You know, he claims, he breeds, he buys, he runs.
He wagers.
Yes, he wagers sometimes frequently and heavily. And, he's a one man bandwagon for thoroughbred racing. And it's always a pleasure to have him on the show and talk to him. And he's very forthcoming with what's going on. You never have to worry about asking him any question. He'll tell you the truth. He said he was disappointed with Baby Bear Soup. I was yesterday too, but not really. I thought he ran an okay race. He just got a little tired. I think he'll be fitter next time and run well. He's a good looking little horse, but you know, that's what Mr. Ramsey likes to win every time he goes out there. So if they don't win, he's disappointed, but he doesn't go crazy about it. And it's a great operation. I mean, it's really been enjoyable to watch it develop over the years. I've lived in Kentucky now for 12 or 13 years, and I've seen it develop. I was there for the Kitten's Joy years and on up, and it's really really amazing what it's developed into.
Yeah, great to see Big Blue Kitten still going at the age of 7, and we'll see if he can add another grade 1 to his resume today with a victory in the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic. Let's take a break. When we come back, more Equine Forum for you, HRR Nation. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair strips. FlairStrips.com.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their three-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
There are millions of reasons to get involved in the fastest growing promotion in horse racing and the third richest thoroughbred event in the United States, the Daily Racing Form NTRA National Handicapping Championship. Whether it's online or on track, start playing today for $2.5 million in prize money and an Eclipse Award as Horse Player of the Year. Join the DRF NHC Tour today and start planning your trip to NHC in Las Vegas. Go to nhctour.com for details.
Earn a lifetime breeding in Danza, a dominant Grade 1 winner and a leading three-year-old of his generation. Half-brother to Grade 1 winner Majestic Harbor, Danza defeated top three-year-olds such as Bayern, Strong Mandate, and Commissioner.
Danza, in a sparkling performance, is making short work of the Arkansas Derby field. Danza is the boss as he wins by five.
To learn how easy it is to earn your lifetime breeding, contact Spendthrift Farm today.
The Breeders' Cup runs here.
What a memorable Breeders' Cup Classic. It's a race for the ages. Bayern, Toast of New York, California Chrome. Bayern, Toast of New York. Bayern has won it.
The Breeders' Cup, October 30th and 31st. Exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Cal Density. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information and to listen live. Join HRRN for a huge day of racing later today with live racing from Belmont Park and Santa Anita. Beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern, we'll bring you total coverage of the Vosburgh, the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic, the Flower Bowl, and the Beldame live from Belmont Park, as well as five Grade 1 stakes races from Santa Anita, including the Awesome Again and the Zenyatta. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information and to listen live.
This is David Jacobson, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Top of the lane now in the big one, and Bayern goes for home. Toast of New York, California Chrome on the grandstand side. Bayern digs in at the rail. Toast of New York stretching him every yard of the way. California Chrome, what a memorable Breeders' Cup Classic. It's a race for the ages. Bayern, Toast of New York, California Chrome. Bayern, Toast of New York. Bayern has won it. Bayern got there by a head under Martin Garcia over Toast of New York. California Chrome ran his heart out, but had to settle for a close third.
Will the real Bayern please stand up? That was Trevor Demmon on the call of last year's Breeders' Cup Classic, a race Bayern won in gate-to-wire, yet controversial fashion. Regardless, he got the Duke that day, but is winless in four starts since. We'll see if he can get back to his winning ways in the Awesome Again later on at Santa Anita. Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, joined by the Pontiff, Jude Feld. We are sitting in for the Baron, Mike Penna, who is getting ready for that live coverage from Santa Anita and here at Belmont Park later on this afternoon. Before we get back, a word from Lane's End. As a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires, like The Factor, the top freshman sire by a yearling average that's 15 times his stud fee. Or Union Rags, a Grade 1 winning 2-year-old and Classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. Then there's Twirl and Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average, and Quality Road, the leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. When it comes down to it, Lane's End Stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, visit lanesend.com. You know, Jude, we've spent a bulk of the morning talking about Beholder and Big Blue Kitten with Ned Toffee and Mr. Ramsey. 5 years old, 7 years old. Great to see horses staying in training in a time in this sport where most of them are getting ushered off as 3 or 4 year olds to the breeding shed.
Well, I think there's two things there that stand out to me. First of all, the owners are guys that are older, and they're not interested necessarily in worrying about breeding per se. They love having a good time at the races. Wayne Hughes and Mr. Ramsey, two guys that love to go to the track. They love watching their horses run. Mr. Hughes announced that he's going to run Beholder next year. So, you know, I mean, at a time where, you're right, horses get retired early, they go to the breeding shed. But I think, when you're a multi-billionaire and you're in your 80s and you like going to the track, why would you want to send your best horse to the breeding shed? Why wouldn't you want to go out, a few Saturdays and Sundays a year and have some fun? I mean, that's the way I would look at it. And Mr. Ramsey, totally immersed in the game. He said he was retiring Bobby's Kitten because he didn't want to pay any stud fees. He's going to breed his own at the farm, and that's fine too. But he's got lots of action. I mean, these are men that love to go to the races, and I think that's a big key. Now, younger owners, they need the money to get things rolling and keep it rolling. Horse racing is a very expensive pastime, business, hobby, whatever you want to sport, whatever you want to call it. It costs a lot of money to keep a horse in training. So it's, and you know, the money can be life-changing for some people early in their lives. You know, if you're in your 30s or 40s and you can sell a stallion for $10 million or whatever, that's going to go a long way. And so it's a like two different sets of standards. You know, if you're in your 80s, you want to go to the races. If you're in your 30s or 40s and you have a chance to put $10 million in the bank, you're probably going to do that. So I think we're very fortunate that some of these older owners are allowing these horses to continue racing because they're having such a good time.
Perhaps the more important question when it comes to Mr. Ramsey is, he already has Kitten's Joy, now he has Bobby's Kitten. How is he possibly going to name all of these kitten horses?
Yeah, and he can't use the word Frankel, right?
Right. At some point, I don't know what's going to happen here, but at some point, we're going to be overtaken by kittens, which I guess couldn't be, isn't the worst thing in the world. Again, HR Nation, thanks for joining us on a picture-perfect Saturday morning here in New York. I'm sure the weather is great out in California, where the Barron's getting ready for the coverage with Jeff Bloom out there. I will be here at Belmont with Acacia Courtney. We'll be on from 5 till about 8:15 when everything wraps up out of the Great Race Place. 5 to 8:15 Eastern Time, Sirius XM 93, and of course streaming live right here at horseracingradio.net. Right now, we're back with Hour 2. Right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
I'm here with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, how do you value a horse for insurance?
Well, Mike, it's easy to value a horse when purchased out of a public auction. The insured value would simply be the auction price. But insuring homebreds can be a little more involved.
How so?
Well, factors such as a stud fee, confirmation, pedigree, sales and race records of siblings, even popularity of the stallion, all come into play.
How closely do you work with owners in determining a horse's value?
Well, the owner has a pretty good idea of the horse's value, so generally it's just a matter of agreeing to the request and having the policy issued.
For all your equine and general insurance needs, including farm owners, liability, homeowners, auto, and more, contact Joe Brown Nicholson at nicholsoninsurance.com or call 859-224-7080. That's 859-224-7080. Nicholson Insurance Agency.
Adina Springs added Macho Uno's best son, Mucho Macho Man, to their stallion roster for the 2015 breeding season. And with 95% of his mares getting in foal, he certainly took to his new job well. Mucho Macho Man earned $5.6 million on the track, culminating in his thrilling victory in the 2013 Breeders' Cup Classic over Will Take Charge and Declaration of War.
On the outside, Declaration of War, Will Take Charge. Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. Will Take Charge, a late run. Oh, it's close. Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave.
Few horses can be multiple graded placed at two, run in all three legs of the Triple Crown, and then go on to become a Breeders' Cup Classic winner as an older horse. And all this from a foal born June 15th. Visit AdinaStallions.com to learn more about Mucho Macho Man and all the Adina Stallions.
You know, every so often we all come across somebody who goes above and beyond the call of duty when we ask them to help us. And that's exactly what happened this week when I ran into a few issues with the hot tub that we have at our house. I was told to call Alan Martin at Allen Spa Service. Now, that's great, but the only problem was that Alan is located in Louisville, about an hour away from where we live. So we started working on it over the phone, and Alan took as much time as I needed. He answered a million questions. I must have called him five or six times, and he never once, when he answered the phone, made me feel like I was bothering him or I was a hassle. He was a professional's professional. And he walked back through everything with me until we finally came to the conclusion that, you know what, it's not going to work over the phone. So Alan made a special trip, drove over an hour to come see me to work on getting everything resolved. It was one of those experiences where you were just happy that you were put in touch with the right person. So I'm gonna tell you, if you are in the Louisville area and you need help, here's what you do. You go to AllensSpaService.com, or you can contact them directly at 502-291-7359. You will not be disappointed. You tell them that I told you to call, and trust me, he will take care of you. Alan Martin at Allen Spa Service.
This is the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for racing's biggest events. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The 37-year wait is over. American Foal is finally the one. American Foal has won the Triple Crown.
Bayern, Toast of New York, California Chrome. Bayern, Toast of New York. Bayern has won it.
Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois Bread. The Pizza Man just won the Arlington Million under Baron Giroux.
As they come down to the 16th pole, it is Texas Red in front. Frosted runs at him. Texas Red, Frosted, a dramatic Jim Dandy, and Texas Red has won it.
Now, here's Mike Pena and Jude Feld.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum, Hour 2. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, up at beautiful Belmont Park. I'm sitting in for the Baron of the Backstretch, Mike Pena, who is out at Santa Anita getting ready for our afternoon race coverage, joined by the pontiff of the Pick Four, the one and only Jude Feld. He's down in our Lexington, Kentucky studio, along with our producer to the stars here at HRN, the man, the myth, the legend, Lee Della Pina, and you, HRN Nation. Thanks again for joining us on a fantastic Saturday morning, action-packed racing Saturday. First of two, well, the first of many, really, but we got seven Women You're In Breeders' Cup races, five stakes in all here at Belmont, five Grade 1 Women You're Ins out at Santa Anita. We will have all seven Women You're In races for you here on the Horse Racing Radio Network later on today, till about 8:15 p.m. Yours truly and Acacia Courtney will anchor the coverage here at Belmont. We'll have the Vosburgh and the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic live for you, and then out in California, the Baron, Mike Pena, along with Jeff Bloom, will have all five Grade 1 Winning Your In races from the great race place out at Santa Anita. Speaking of Santa Anita, and hour two. In just a couple of moments, we will get to an interview that the Baron taped yesterday with Rick Hammerly, the Santa Anita Racing Secretary. Sat down with him for a good portion of time, and we got that interview for you coming up in a matter of moments. Then later on in the show, trainer Doug O'Neill, he has four in on that big race card out at Santa Anita. Wisely, the only race he's not represented in of the grade ones is the Zenyatta. He doesn't have to face Beholder today. But, of course, all eyes will be on Nyquist, a perfect 3-for-3, looking to win the grade one front runner and snap his ticket to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And then Jude and I will take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup, presented by Gainsway, towards the end of the show. But like I said, yesterday afternoon, the Baron, Mike Pena, sat down with the racing secretary out at Santa Anita, Rick Hammerly, and here's that interview for you right now.
Rick, when you talk about having five grade one races on the program, you're always going to be talking about top quality horses. That's what we have on Saturday afternoon, but you have to be thrilled with the way that these races came together.
Well, you know, Mike, you're right. Little different this year because we don't have the Breeders' Cup. Usually it's different when a track gets the Breeders' Cup, but we've been blessed to have that event here for the last 3 years, and they finally gave us a year off because, as you know, we'll be coming back here next year. And so a little bit different in getting these races put together, a little bit harder to entice some of the horsemen from the East Coast and the Midwest to come out and, you know, come out to California and then have to ship back to Kentucky. Whereas when we have the races here, some guys like to come out early, maybe get a race over the track, check out the surroundings, you know, test the competition. So this is basically a homemade show on the races on Saturday. We have a couple shippers in the Filly and Mare Turf Race. Christophe Clemonson's out, Hard Not to Like, and Graham Motion, who's stables with us during the winter meet, also sends out Photo Call for that race. And then we have a shipper in the Chandelier coming out from Gulfstream Park. Horse called Vieja Luna will come out and try and strut her stuff out here in the Chandelier Stakes. But this is a homemade event, and in fact the Awesome Again Stakes, which is the 10th race on the card, we actually lost a couple horses. Catch a Flight from the Richard Mandela Barn was planning on running and came up with just a little sore on the morning of entry, so of course he didn't run, and he actually has taken over the training of Normandy Invasion, who's here, and they were planning on running and decided not to. So actually, Todd Pletcher was thinking about sending out race day as well for that race, and that didn't happen at the last minute either. So we're happy with the field that we have, and like you said, we're pulling a Daytona 500. We're running our best day on opening day, and to kick off the meet.
You mentioned it being a homemade show, and it really is. You look at the horses that are here, and there's some big names, some big West Coast-based names, including Champion Beholder, who we'll see go postward in the Zenyatta. You have the defending Breeders' Cup Classic Champion going to the post as well, and the Awesome Again for trainer Bob Baffert with Byron. And then we have maybe the top two-year-old colt and the top two-year-old filly in the country. So it speaks to the quality of these West Coast-based runners, doesn't it?
Yes, and this is it. We start... I always tell everybody, start a couple months out of the Breeders' Cup, start looking for horses that guys are pointing, and they don't necessarily have to win, but they're starting to get ready. Now, well, guess what? We're 5 weeks away now, and there's no really messing around. They have to kind of show what they have now. So, you know, let's get right, start right at the top. You mentioned Beholder. Every year for the past, I got to say, 3 years, right? She's won at 2, 3, 4, and now she's 5. And she's always a horse you follow and look at. But after her display in the Pacific Classic at Del Mar earlier this year, I think she's really taken the world by storm. Of course, American Pharoah is still the number one draw. But Beholder has really taken on a kind of an air of herself. Not quite Zenyatta-like, but in that fashion. And I tell you, there's something about when there's a filly out there and she's good and everybody knows she's good. And now that she's beat the boys once, Richard Mandela has said, you know what? I think we're going to try him again, but we'll try him for $5 million. So she's running in the obvious place here in the Filly and Mare race. And I don't know if he thought about just training her up to the Breeders' Cup, but I'll tell you, talking with Gary Stevens the last week or so, talking about how he's, you know, been getting on her and how she's been training, she needs to run. And so she's the A++ that we have on the card here. But as you mentioned, Mike, we have Bayern, who returns to the scene of the crime, so to speak, and coming back here to Santa Anita. It's the first time he'll be running at Santa Anita since he gutted out a really was a gutty performance. You know, everything else aside, what happened at the start of the race. I mean, he had to dig deep and hold off those challengers down the stretch. So hasn't quite put it together in the I think four races since. And talking to Bob, you know, Bob's basically said, you know, this is it. You know, I'm all in. All his cards are in. And I got to tell you, being around Bob and watch him train and how he talks about his horses, which he doesn't very often, when he gets pushed into a corner and he has to get something done, he gets it done. I really don't think they could have handpicked a better race just in the competition and the way the race takes shape. I think you're going to see the old Bayern. He's on the outside. I think he's going to go. He's got to go, and he's going to be out front there. It doesn't seem to be any kind of challenging speed here. I was just talking a little bit earlier. I think there's two ways to look at that race. Either you put a check mark by Bayern and you just put the race to bed, or you think that he's going to get beat, you just leave him out and look for that horse that's going to beat him. I mean, there's nothing special in to beat him. I don't think this division out here is begging for a new face, a fresh face. It's kind of the same ones. Hard Aces came out here off a purchase from the John Sadler barn, and after a few races, he put it together and won the Gold Cup here in May and nosed out Opportunity, who seems to always be there. Opportunity seems to be that horse that just looks like he fits perfect. He's not a front runner. He's not a closer. Looks like a stalker. He can go anywhere, but he seems to have lost that winning edge lately. So he'll get bet. I'm not that high on him. And I'll tell you, like I said, looking for a newcomer to the division, I was looking at Global View. I mean, Tom Proctor's, you know, seems to be thought of as the turf trainer extraordinaire, which obviously he is, but he's a good trainer all around. Let's not kid any yourself. He tried this colt, Global View, on the dirt at Del Mar. Actually, I believe at the suggestion of Van Dyke, his rider, who was working him in the morning, and said, "Hey, you know what? Let's try this horse on the dirt." Which they did. They ran in the little Brubaker going a mile down at Del Mar, and he ran very well. So the fact that Tom's trying him in here, going a mile and eighth on the dirt in a grade one, leads me to believe that this horse might be heading in the right direction. It might be a long shot to follow or throw in and maybe hit the board.
Talking with Santa Anita Racing Secretary Rick Hammerly here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All right, Rick, let's look at the juvenile picture now, because I mentioned maybe the top juvenile colt and the top juvenile filly in the country with Nyquist and Songbird respectively. Nyquist, the first one that we'll see, he's going to go postward in the very first grade one of the afternoon, the front runner. It is race number five, and boy, he looks like he's going to be a handful in there.
You know, he really does. Let's take a step back to last year. Of course, last year's winner of this race was American Pharoah, and we all know what he ended up doing after missing the Breeders' Cup, came back pretty nice and winning the Triple Crown. And to take that a step further, Bob Baffert, he's won this race seven times, so he's kind of owned this race. And I think when we get to the Phillies race, I think we'll find out he's won that race nine times. So he is represented in here with the horse on the outside, Mount Veeder, who ran not too long ago, actually, it'll be 13 days ago at Los Alamitos. So he is represented. So you always have to take a look at him. But right now, I think there's a new two-year-old king in Southern California, and it's Doug O'Neill. He has Nyquist in here, but he's going to extend his barn all across the country in the next few weeks in the two-year-old division. He'll have horses in New York, and he'll have horses in Keeneland, all prepping for the Breeders' Cup juvenile fillies. But Nyquist out here has been good since the first time he ran. Now, you know, we always look for a hole betting-wise and a reason to bet against. He's one of the ones in here that has not gone around two turns. I mean, there's no real reason to think that he won't do it, but at 6-5 in the morning, and he's going to be 4-5 or even money. And as far as betting, You know, if you want to take that, that's fine. But if you want to, and I do think he's the leader in the division, especially out here. But once again, you know, until they go two turns, you just don't know. So this is actually, it is going to be a good training ground for him, whether he wins or not. He's definitely headed to the Breeders' Cup. Obviously, they'd like to go in with a victory. But if this horse, if this colt can, you know, just learn a little bit about getting around there, you know, two times around two turns, I think it's really going to help him. And Mario Gutierrez, who is stuck like glue to the Doug O'Neill barn, it's really, I mean, really pushed his career out there. Of course, after winning the Derby with the Redham O'Neill combination, it really helped. And they've stuck with him, and he's just been great on their horses. He seems to fit them, and he's done real well. But let's take a look at a couple more in here, just on the betting platform. One horse that I've kind of taken a liking to is a horse called Hollywood Dawn. Now, couple things I like about him. A, he's been the distance, not once, not twice, but three times he's gone a mile, albeit it's been on the turf course. But he seems to have that determined presence in him that you don't see in a lot of young horses. His second race on the turf was basically a match race all the way around. He gutted it out. He ended up winning the race. And then in the last race, which he went off at 4-1, we liked him that day. But what I really liked what they did with him, they didn't do the front end thing again. They were trying to teach him something. They took him off the pace, and a lot of horses don't take to that. He did. He settled in nicely. He responded. And he made a nice run, and he won the little turf stake down at Del Mar. Now, they don't always transfer their turf form to the dirt, but if anyone's going to do it, I think Hollywood Dawn has the ability to. His numbers are not bad at all, and I think the race could set up for him if he's able to transfer that form. But I think Hollywood Dawn has a shot, and then Keith DeSorma, who's just done wonders with horses that he doesn't pay a whole lot for. I think we were talking this morning. I think he bought 10 horses at Keeneland so far for a total of like $300,000-$400,000. And if you look here, he's got a $5,000 purchase swipe, who's made almost $200,000 in a grade one. And then when we get to the Philly division, he's got one that he bought for, I think, $50,000-$40,000, something like that, in another grade one. So he does a wonderful job with his two-year-olds, with what he has, and gets a lot out of him. So I he's one of those guys now, when he puts a horse in a two-year-old, I really give a double look to it. And swipe has the look of a horse that might appreciate the distance, being by Birdstone. So, you know, pretty interesting event. Nyquist is the horse to beat, but I think there's some other horses out there worth looking at.
Yeah, interesting. You mentioned Nyquist, and you mentioned the tie to American Pharoah, at least in terms of the fact that American Pharoah won this race a year ago. Nyquist may have one up on him, though, because if you remember, American Pharoah wasn't undefeated coming into this race. He lost his debut at Del Mar earlier in the season, whereas Nyquist is a perfect 3-for-3. Not that Nyquist is better than American Pharoah, but just something to kind of keep in mind. And, of course, the front runner is the first race that our listeners will hear live this afternoon, beginning at 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock Pacific, with our exclusive coverage of every Grade 1 race here at Santa Anita. Let's talk about the two-year-old fillies, Rick, with the Chandelier. And we mentioned the name Songbird. She is probably going to be the heavy favorite in there. She's been equally as brilliant as Nyquist has been.
Yes, she has. And, you know, as we go back and you mentioned American Pharoah getting beat, you know, they all get beat. And so that's something. And actually, sometimes going into the big race, you don't mind if they get beat. I mean, sometimes it's better taking that edge off early and then performing again for the big race. And I'll tell you,
unless you're personal ensign, right? Then maybe they don't all get beat.
Unless you're that special. That's exactly right. And I'll tell you what, since American Pharoah got beat in the Travers, the whole sports world has gone upside down as far as favorites go. I mean, anyone that watched NFL football last week knows that anything can happen. So you always keep that in the back of my mind, the way the world seems to be trending. So anyways, well, let's move into the Chandelier. Like I mentioned, Bob Baffert has won this race 9 times. The last time he won it was in 2013 with Secret Compass. So once again, we'll check out Bob Baffert. He's got 2 in here. Word is Pretty and Cool is not going to run. I think she's headed to Kentucky for the Alcibiades, but she has not scratched. So that's just one of those things I heard at the barbershop type of thing. So let's not take her out just yet. So talking about Songbird, this is a $400,000 purchase, and boy, she's run like it. Fox Hill Farm, Mr. Porter, doesn't run a whole lot of horses out here on the West Coast, but he's had 3 or 4 recently, and they've gone to Jerry Hollendorfer. I guess we might be seeing a little bit more of the East Coast contingent sent out here to Jerry. But Jerry's been high in this horse, this filly, ever since she landed here, and she ran huge first time out, broke her maiden very impressively. And, you know, like it is most places, when you break your maiden with a two-year-old between May and July, your next race is a stake. There are no allowance races out there anywhere for two-year-olds, you know, once other thans, simply because there's just not enough maiden breakers out there. There's not enough horses to run in allowance races and then come back and run in a stake. So a lot of these stakes are horses that have just broken their maiden. So even though it's got a stake name by it, keep that in mind. It's not like they've been out, you know, beating horses that have won, you know, three, four, five races. They're basically running against maiden breakers only. So as impressive as some of these stake wins look, you got to remember who the competition is. It's just horses that basically have won one race. But Songbird did the Del Mar debutante in great style. I mean, she just looked in control the whole race and just drew out at ease. I don't anticipate, once again, that the two turns is going to be a problem for her. But once again, you know, you're asking these young horses to do something that they've never done. So if you're looking for a hole, I mean, she's 3-5 in the morning lines. She's going to be a huge single in all the horizontal bets, the pick sixes, and this is the start of the pick four. You know, if you want a single her, that's great, and I'm sure she'll be singled on a lot of tickets. But once again, you know, on the gambling side of it, you know, let's take a little peek and look around for something. I was very intrigued with the Doug O'Neill horse, or filly, Landover Sea, once again from the Redham stable, once again ridden by Mara Gutierrez. And, you know, she has something in there that Songbird doesn't have, and that's a race going long. Once again, it was on the turf at Del Mar, but that's where she got her win and proves she wants to go long. She came back and ran in the Songbird Del Mar debutante and was not disgraced at all. She got beat six lengths in there and ran third. And obviously she likes the distance and she did well on the dirt. And let's remember one other thing. Unlike years past, Del Mar went back to dirt. And not only did they go back to dirt, they went back to the dirt. It's the same dirt that we have here at Santa Anita. And so nothing's ever the same. But for the first time, I think, in California history, we have two tracks with the same surface in. So in handicapping the races in general, especially the races here in our autumn meet, horses coming from Del Mar used to come from running off of the poly track here. So it was a little different read. I think the form will hold a little bit better coming from dirt to dirt. So just keep that in mind in general when handicapping not only Saturday but for the rest of the meet. So Landover Sea showed she could handle the dirt down there. There's no reason to think she can't handle the dirt here. I think you're going to get 6, 7, 8 to 1 on her. She went off at almost 30-1 last time. And like I said, didn't get disgraced. If for some reason, you know, Songbird doesn't like that extra turn, Landover Sea sure like. She might be one that could run her down. I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's a possibility. Once again, on the outside is our man Keith DeSormo with a $55,000 purchase, who's made over $100,000 with her. And, you know, right there, she got beat off a little bit further in the debutante. But once again, this horse is 2-for-2 in the money at Santa Anita. She likes it here. She broke her maiden in a stake here and won that race convincingly. So, you know, she's the only one in this whole race that actually has run at Santa Anita and won at Santa Anita. So that could be a horse for course, you know, look at there.
Mike Hammerly with the Baron Mike Penna yesterday out at the Great Race Place Santa Anita. Plenty of good stuff there, Jude.
Yeah, and now you can put your hemorrhoid cushions away.
It's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. California Chrome back to Sherman next month. Reigning Horse of the Year California Chrome looked quite at home September 25th at TaylorMade Stallions during a fan day hosted in his honor, but the colt has more to do before settling into retirement. A final soundness exam October 1st by Dr. Larry Bramlage of Rood & Riddle Equine Hospital will clear the 4-year-old son of Lucky Pulpit for a return to training
and he is expected to ship back to trainer Art Sherman's California base sometime between October 8th and October 15th, Duncan Taylor said. Dr. Bramlage does a soundness exam where he trots them down and back, and the bones will definitely be x-rayed because that was the only problem he had, so it should be pretty simple, said Taylor, the president and CEO of Taylor Made. And that wraps up this morning's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. For more racing and more industry news, visit bloodhorse.com. Well, good to see that the defending horse of the year is going to head back to his old digs and get back into the swing of things, Jude.
Yeah, it's where he belongs with Art Sherman and Son Alan and, you know, doing what he does best. So I guess they had a day for him at TaylorMade. Was it yesterday or day before yesterday?
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Crazy. A lot of people showed up. It's great to see our stars getting some press and some fans to visit him. I mean, that day at Saratoga where American Pharoah galloped and there were 20,000 people there, that was off the hook.
Yeah, good to see California Chrome getting back into the swing of things. Shared Belief, I believe, had his first jog recently since his injury back in April at the Charlestown Classic. So, yeah, good to see some of those. You know, beginning of the year, we were left wondering and dreaming about how amazing this Breeders' Cup Classic could have been. And, you know, we've seen Shared Belief get hurt, California Chrome, of course, Palace Malice was forced to retire. Still have a fantastic classic getting ready to come your way on October 31st. And we have all your coverage right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, both Breeders' Cup days, October 30th and October 31st. All that coverage presented by Cal Density. But, yeah, good to see these guys back on the track and getting back into the swing of things and hopefully can make some noise in 2016. Let's take a break. When we come back, horse with a future is Nyquist. We'll have his trainer, Doug O'Neill, when we come back from this break. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, celebrating 10 years of award-winning coverage.
Celebrating 10 years of Eclipse award-winning coverage. Thank you for making HRRN your home for a decade of memories.
Airdrie Stud's Majestic Perfection continues to be one of the hottest young stallions in America. His first crop three-year-olds include Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and Ashland Stakes winner Lovely Maria, Graded Stakes winner Hebronville, and the lightning-fast multiple stakes winner Majestic Affair. The number one sire in his crop by 2015 Graded Stakes winners to starters, and average earnings per starter, Majestic Perfection also offers a higher return on investment in the yearling ring than any other stallion in his crop. Airdrie Studs, Majestic Perfection. Think about it.
And they're off to New York. The premier state-bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the Spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Kitten's Joy.
Big Blue Kitten wins the United Nations for the second time in 3 years.
A champion sire.
Stephanie's Kitten has won the Flower Bowl.
The number one turf sire in America.
Bobby's Kitten like a rocket out of nowhere.
Kitten's Joy, one of the premier stallions in North America, continues to produce young rising stars, including impressive debut winner Camelot Kitten, a full brother to Breeders' Cup winner Bobby's Kitten. Kitten's Joy, standing at Ramsey Farm.
Don't miss one of the biggest days of the year, Saturday, September 26th, right here at Santa Anita Park. It's opening day of our 2015 Autumn Meet, and we'll have five Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Prep Stakes that will likely include two-time Eclipse champion Mare Beholder going after her third consecutive win in the Grade 1 Zenyatta at a mile and a 16th. First post time for a blockbuster 11-race card on opening day is at 12:30, so make plans to join us early. Visit SantaAnita.com for details. Santa Anita, great racing and great value and a world-class setting.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Girolamo digs down deep and holds on. Riley Tucker doing his best.
Wildcat Brief has made a run from last, but he'll be no better than third. It's Girolamo to win the Vosburg.
Darley Stallion Girolamo absolutely dominated the 2010 running of the Grade 1 Vosburg. He was sent off that day as the 2-1 favorite and seized control coming to the quarter pole, drew off to win by an impressive 2.5 open lengths. That performance in the 2010 Vosburg makes Girolamo your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Girolamo has become the latest star from the La Troyenne tribe, finding himself among the leading freshman sires with 8 winners, including TDN Rising Star and stakes winner She's Already. Girolamo hails from a family of no fewer than 11 Grade 1 sires under 3 dams, including Super Saver. And with yearlings from his second crop averaging almost 20 times his stud fee, he's hugely promising. To learn more about Girolamo and all the Darley Stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is David Cohen.
This is Gary Siaka.
This is David Jacobson.
This is Gary Gallo.
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They're at the top of the lane now. Nyquist the leader. Rockin' Bayou's running his heart out on the outside. And Swipe is getting going late as well. They come for home. Nyquist the leader. Rockin' Bayou. Swipe is coming fast down the center of the track now. But Nyquist has kicked on. Nyquist, Swipe closing, but not to get to Nyquist. Another classy performance from Nyquist. Remains unbeaten. Wins it by about 4, but coming home easily in the end. The runner-up was Swipe. Then Blame It on the Law, Rockin' Bayou, Annie's Candy, and Arkeo was last.
Trevor Denman on the call of the Delmar Futurity, the Grade 1 last time out. Nyquist made it a perfect 3-for-3. He'll look for that proverbial grand slam when he tries two turns for the first time in the Grade 1 front runner going a mile and a 16th. It'll start the stakes action on stakes-laden card out at Santa Anita. Later on today, we have the coverage right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, joined by the pontiff of the Pick Four, one and only Jude Feld. I'm sitting in for the Baron, Mike Penna, who's out at Santa Anita getting ready for that stakes coverage. We're busy here at HRRN today. Another guy that's pretty busy today is Doug O'Neill. He's got Nyquist in that front runner, as well as 3 others in the stakes out at the Great Race Place today. But he was nice enough to take a few minutes out of his day and join us here now on the Equine Forum. Doug, thanks for the time this morning.
Good morning, Anthony and Jude. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good.
Doing pretty well.
We would be remiss if we didn't ask about Leandro Mora, your assistant, who is recovering from a stroke. How's he doing?
He's doing really well, Jude. Yeah, fortunately, he got taken to the hospital right away, and they were able to reverse any initial negative stuff. And he was actually released from the hospital 2 days ago, and the doctor told him to lay low for 2 weeks. And you know how this goes, Jude. Laying low in our terms means hanging out at the barn. So, he was at the barn yesterday for a couple hours, and man, what a boost it is having him around here. And he's such a key part of the team. So, yeah, that was scary for a few days, but it looks like we dodged a bullet, and we got our big team player back.
Well, he's such an asset, such a great guy, such a smiley personality to have around the barn, and a great team player for Team O'Neill. So please give him our regards and tell him we are sending our thoughts and prayers his way.
Will do. Thank you. Yeah, he's our most of the guys here have been here a long time, and that's because of the way Leandro manages everybody, the way he respects everybody, and he's just he's an unbelievable horseman and also a great people person, so he's just a huge asset. But I will send your a kind word to him. He'll love hearing that.
Yeah, good to hear that Leandro is doing well. You, sir, have a busy Saturday ahead of you. 6:33 out on the West Coast right now. You'll be going straight and strong for another 12 or 13 hours, I would think. It all starts off for you, stakes-wise anyway, with Nyquist. And right now, he is getting a ton of buzz. I'll be the first one to break your chops a little bit about it. 35-1 future book favorite out by the win is Nyquist for Kentucky Derby 2016. And why not? A perfect 3-for-3. He'll look for that elusive fourth in a row in this front runner. How's he doing coming into the race, Doug?
He's doing so well. You know, and like a lot of these horses in here, other than Peter Miller's horse, Hollywood Don, well, actually Rare Candy as well, but most of them, this is the first time they're going two turns, and so that's a big question mark. But he's training great. He's got the mind of a horse that should have no problem going two turns. And, yeah, just real excited. Wish the race was going right now, to be honest with you. We're eager to lead him over there and see what he does.
Uncle Mo's off to a fantastic start at stud, and this son, his son here, Nyquist, you know, looking to follow in the footsteps, of course. I'm sure you've heard this a million times in the past week. American Pharoah turned a Del Mar Futurity front runner daily double into a not too terrible 3-year-old campaign this year.
Yeah, if we could do anything close to what American Pharoah has done, we'd be going nuts. So, but we're extremely excited about him, and we're coming back a little bit quick, but it's in our own backyard, and he's trained and full of energy. So, just feels like it's the right spot to stretch him out, and wouldn't trade place with anybody. Very, very excited and proud of this guy.
You have a new shooter in there in Mr. Veter, who looks like he's got a lot of speed. Do you envision the kind of trip where you'll sit off of him and see what happens?
I do. You know, Mario's been working Nyquist forever, you know, pretty much since he started freezing. So he knows him so well, and he can get him turned off and just galloping around there nice and easy. So, it does look like Bob's horse will be for the place. And I would even think Tyler Bays is the Sadler horse, claiming on the law with the blinkers on. He'll probably be for the place too. So I think we'll be laying maybe third or fourth and settled, and hopefully when Mario calls on him, he'll finish it up like he has his first three starts.
Nyquist, not your only major contender in these stakes races today, though. You have a runner in four of the five winning your in races. Wisely, the only one you're not in is the Zenyatta. You don't have to deal with Beholder today.
Exactly, Anthony. So if we had anything that fit in there, we would have gave it a go, that's for sure. But we got nothing even close to a Beholder in that category. But it'll be fun to watch her run. Her race down at Del Mar, probably been one of the most impressive a lot of us have seen in a long time. That was pretty amazing.
In race 10, the awesome again. Sammy Mandeville will be making his third start off a little bit of a rest, and he gave the local hero, Striker PhD, a good little scare in that Long Acres Mile last time out. Came with a big run to grab the place money.
He's such an honest horse. He tries hard every time. He loves Sanita. The horse who probably would have been the favorite in here if he didn't get sick, Catch a Flight. There's been a couple times where we were right on the wire with Catch a Flight with Sammy Mandeville. So it was kind of a last-minute thing. We were going somewhere else with Sammy, and then when we heard Catch a Flight wasn't going to make the race, we called an audible and decided to go here. So, I think he's going to run a big race. He's training great. He likes the track, and the distance shouldn't be a problem at all.
You worried about Byron getting loose on you in the awesome again?
I don't, I don't have the darn form right in front of me, but I thought there was somebody else in there that maybe could push Byron, and he's obviously a brilliant horse, but he maybe lately it seems like his form has been a little bit erratic, so we're hoping Byron doesn't bring his A race, and we do, and I think we're getting a few pounds from him as well. Whenever you're talking about a grade one, it's full of talented horses, so we just need a good lucky trip and have our horse show up.
That Baffert guy, he's kind of a thorn in your side today, huh?
Yeah, what's that about?
I don't know.
You think him and Jill would go on a vacation and spend all American Pharoah money shopping or something. What are they doing? But, yeah, he's as strong as ever, but we're feeling pretty good about our chances today, too.
In race 9, Jude and I were talking earlier, the Rodeo Drive, grade 1, mile and a quarter for the fillies and mares on the turf. Charlotte Ray, real impressive last out in the Del Mar Oaks. She'll be making her first start against older. And curious, the QE2 at Keeneland comes up. It's for a little more money against straight three-year-olds. What gives you the confidence in Charlotte Ray to try her against her her older rivals today?
Well, you know, that was a team decision, and that's talking to the boys that own Charlotte Ray. They just thought, you know, it's in her own backyard. On sheer numbers, I know these horses have to actually go out there and compete, but on sheer numbers, she stacks right up with the older fillies and mares. So just thought it was a great opportunity in her own backyard and with some homework that they had done on what was coming up there at Keeneland. They thought that race was going to come up a little salty as well. So just thought staying home in our own backyard, grade one, the distance should be ideal. We take a chance. And if she's competitive today, it definitely bodes well for, you know, taking a chance in the Breeders' Cup against older horses.
Yeah, she does have good numbers. I mean, when you look at her, at least on my turf figures, the numbers that she's posted compared to the rest of the field, other than Hard Not to Like, who's, you know, a very, very tough filly, but she certainly fits with the rest of the crew. And as the great Jerry Fanning taught me, never be afraid of one horse. You know, you just, yeah, anything can, that's happen, true, especially, yeah, yeah, in a turf race. You know,
yeah, and we're getting, we're dropping a pound, and, you know, we're getting a few pounds from a couple of these older horses too. So that can't hurt either.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
And finally, over in the Chandelier, race number 8, while Nyquist doesn't have any two-turn experience, you're filling in here. Land Oversea does, albeit on the turf. She was a good third in the Del Mar debutante, grade 1 last out, behind the undefeated Songbird. Do you think that two-turn experience gives her a little edge on some of the others trying to topple Songbird in here?
Well, I think it eases our mind, even though before she ever debuted, Anthony, we thought that we couldn't wait for this filly to go two turns. And in all honesty, her debut was better than we had expected because she's a real big, strong filly, and she wasn't showing a lot of speed away from the gate, you know, leading up to her debut. So everything about her seems two turns. Obviously, Songbird is just been freakish her first two starts, so she'll have to kind of not bring her first two races. I think if she does, no one, you know, everyone's running for second. But our filly's, she's a hard knocker, tough minded, and two turns, like you said, she did it on the turf, and I don't see any difference with her on the dirt. She's trained good, so I think she's got a big chance to possibly upset Songbird.
Rick Hammerly preceded you on the show, and your filly was his pick as a possible upsetter to Songbird. He thinks you're the most likely one to run her down if she can't get the distance, and so that's a feather in your cap when the racing secretary likes you.
Like, he could have gave me a few pounds or change of conditions to help me out a little bit. But Hammer's a great, you have to be a great handicapper to be a great reg secretary, and he's a great handicapper. So to hear him say that means a lot. And, yeah, I'm real pumped. I think, you know, if watching her train, you know, as good as she has, if that means anything, we should be a big part of it.
Well, a big day of racing on tap. No one will be busier than Doug O'Neill. Five in out at Santa Anita, including 4 in the Women You're In races, headlined by Nyquist, looking to go 4 for 4 in the grade 1 front runner. Best of luck today, Doug. Thanks for some time, yeah, this morning, and go get them.
Great talking to you guys. Thank you. Have a great day.
All right. Thanks, Doug.
I see
you. Doug O'Neill, of course, won the 2012 Kentucky Derby and Preakness with I'll Have Another. You know, a guy's having a busy morning, Jude, when you don't even get to talk to him about his Derby winner.
Yeah, well, you know, that's kind of old news. Doug's one of the good guys. I gave him his first job on the racetrack, and he's never changed. He's always been the same. He's got a great attitude. He's always forward thinking, and he's not one of those guys that puts the call of the Derby on his phone so he can hear it over and over again. No license plate or any of that. Very low key guy, and you know, he just is concentrating on the day. So
you were a trainer for so many years. When you have a day like this where you're trying to keep a bunch of balls and juggle a bunch of balls in the air at the same time, and you have a horse like Nyquist who can be the next big thing. We've joked for the last couple of weeks, the next big thing in horse racing radio is our Express Bet radio that you and I did this week, 3 to 6, Wednesday through Friday on Sirius 220, XM 206, and, of course, streaming at horseracingradio.net. But this horse, 3 for 3, you know, this two-turn challenge today, seemingly the last real hurdle for him going into the Breeders' Cup. Is there extra pressure on a guy like Doug O'Neill, especially when a horse like that starts the day off, that you want things to get off on the right foot?
Well, you always, you know, whenever you have a horse in a big stakes race, you're feeling it from the time you get up, probably for a few days ahead of time. You're thinking about, you know, the race and how great it would be to win and what you need to do to get there, and all of those things go through your head. But, you know, Doug's been there, done that a bunch of times, and, you know, he's had from the sublime to the ridiculous happen to him over the course of his training career. So I don't think he's really feeling a lot of pressure. I think he's probably feeling more excitement. You know, I think, you know, was it Lee Trevino that said, pressure's when you bet a $300 NAS on, you've got a $5 bill in your pocket, you know? I think that's pressure, you know, but Doug, you know, Doug just really loves the game. He loves watching his horses run, and I think he's going to go, you know, to the front runner or be in a suite somewhere, and he'll be having a good time and enjoying the races, and that's the way Doug is. So I don't think he's, like, sweating it out. I mean, he's always been a very realistic guy, and he's had some things happen in his life. He had a brother pass away. His brother Dennis had a cancer scare. So I think he's got a great perspective on life, and it's more like, you know, let's enjoy today and not worry about tomorrow or any of that stuff. And I think that perspective that he has on life in general allows him to be that free-spirited trainer and a guy that doesn't worry necessarily about the results. Of course, he always wants to do well, but he really loves the game, and he enjoys being in it, and he takes care of the people that work for him, and he is concerned about his clients, and I don't think he feels really any pressure at all. I would be shocked if he did, really.
Well, we'll see if Nyquist can stay perfect with a win in that front runner. Time for one more break. When we come back, Jude and I will take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Tollgate Hay Company in Georgetown, Kentucky is family-owned and operated and offers top-quality local and northern hay and straw. At Tollgate Hay Company, you'll find hay in both large and small squares with western hay available upon request. Are you in need of bagged shavings or the best in McCauley's feed? Tollgate Hay has you covered. So call today, 502-542-8343. That's 502-542-8343. Tollgate Hay Company.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan?
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you gotta be more than fast.
More than fast.
You gotta be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Apollopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com.
Lexus. Once driven, there's no going back. Through inspired design, relentless innovation, and uninhibited performance, Lexus continues their pursuit to perfection with not only precisely engineered automobiles, but powerful, profound, and passionate experiences that move you like never before. Hey everyone, Mike Pena here, and extremely proud to say that I am a Lexus owner, or better yet, a member of the Lexus family. at the Lexus store of Lexington. I've told you for more than a decade that the people make the difference at the Lexus store, and that is why I am so proud to be their customer and a member of their family. If you're in the horse business, there's no reason to look anywhere else. As the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run at Keeneland every fall, the team at the Lexus store of Lexington is committed to supporting the horse industry and to being the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. See for yourself. Stop in and talk horse racing with the godfather, Tony Attiano, and all the great folks at the Lexus store of Lexington. And I promise you will love your Lexus experience.
Join HRRN for a huge day of racing later today with live racing from Belmont Park and Santa Anita. Beginning at 5 p.m. Eastern, we'll bring you total coverage of the Vosburgh, the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic, the Flower Bowl, and the Beldame live from Belmont Park, as well as five Grade 1 stakes races from Santa Anita, including the Awesome Again and the Zenyatta. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information and to listen live.
My name is Abel Escanos. Listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Around the far turn, it is still War Dancer. It's been War Dancer all the way so far. Twilight Eclipse draws up alongside of him, and Imagining swings up on the outside. Hyper is down toward the rail, and they're into the final furlong, and it is still War Dancer, and he's holding on to the lead. Twilight Eclipse draws even. These two come into the final 16th. War Dancer inside, Twilight Eclipse on the outside. They bob heads to the wire, and Twilight Eclipse has won the battle war. War Dancer was second, Hyper was third, and Dynamic Sky was fourth.
Twilight Eclipse nailed down that elusive Grade 1 with a win this past spring in the Man of War right here at beautiful Belmont Park. Larry Comas on the call of that Man of War. Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, joined by the Pontiff, Jude Feld, sitting in. We are sitting in for the Baron, Mike Penna, here on the Equine Forum as Mike is getting ready for our afternoon coverage of all seven Breeders' Cup Win and You're In events. Speaking of the Breeders' Cup, Jude, it's time now to go down the road to the Breeders' Cup, presented by Gainsway.
This is the road to the Breeders' Cup.
The race of the year, the horse of the year.
Presented by Gainsway on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, seven, like I said, Win and You're In races in all today. Let's start here with the Vosburgh at Belmont, set to go to post at 5:26. You can hear the Vosburgh, the Joe Hirsch Turf Classic, and all five Santa Anita races here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, 5 to about 8:15, SiriusXM 93, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net. Acacia Courtney and I will be here at Belmont. Out of Santa Anita will be the Baron, Mike Penna, as well as Jeff Bloom. Field of seven, 2-5 prohibitive morning line favorite is the number seven, Rockfall, for Pletcher and Castellano.
Yeah, well, you know, he's been undefeated for over a year. He's only actually had one loss in his life. His first start at Gulfstream, he finished eighth, beaten 18, said rushed and tired. I don't know what the hell happened there. I mean, you would think he could run in reverse. And he was running against Fast Anna, who's a nice horse, but that was a terrible race. And then came back at 5-1 and won by 9.25. And the rest is history, as they say. Hasn't tasted defeat since, although last time was dangerously close to losing. Got beat, or won by a nose, almost got beat the last time out at Saratoga in the Vanderbilt. But, you know, he's a nice horse. He's got very gaudy speed figures, and I can see why he should be the favorite, but it's not like this race is a walkover. There's some very talented horses in this race, and horses with speed that can challenge him a little bit. For instance, Wildcat Red and Weekend Hideaway are both horses that have good speed. Now, Rockfall does have the outside post, and he does have some rateability, so there's that to like about him. But I'm thinking there might be a chance that Stallwalking Dude could run him down late at a pretty decent price. Anytime you have a 2-5 shot in the race, whoever else you like is going to be a decent price. And stall walking dude won last time out by a nose in the Tail of the Cat Stakes at Saratoga. He seems to be on the improve. His last three speed figures, 91, 98, and 100, not too far off of Rock Fall. And if he moves forward, he could be tough. Arad Ortiz rode him last time, got to know him, should ride him even better this time. So that's where I'm going to go. I wouldn't bet, you know, on Rock Fall at a short price. And if Stall Walking Dude's hanging up there, you know, somewhere between 5 and 8 to 1, he'll probably get a few shekels from me.
Wildcat Red's kept some pretty solid company throughout most of his career. He's 2 for 3 with a third at the 6 furlong distance. Lascano's going to stay aboard. Got a little tired late in the 7 furlong forego last out when there was no catching Private Zone, beating less than a length for second. I'll give him a little try here. I'll use them both in the pick four, but I'll take a little upset chance with the 2, Wildcat Red, before we head out to Santa Anita. Let's hear a quick word from Gainsway.
Power.
It is Texas Red just outclassing them. Look at this for an easy one in the Breeders' Cup.
Passion.
And Materiality is undefeated. He has won the Florida Derby.
Performance.
At Charleroi in a driving finish. Charleroi to win the Oaks.
Gainsway Stallion of Fleet Alex has produced 7 Grade 1 winners, 4 in the past 10 months, including Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Jim Dandy winner Texas Red, Florida Derby hero Materiality, and Del Mar Oaks winner Charleroi. Other top runners by a Fleet Alex include Grade 1 Travers winner of Fleet Express, Grade 2 Delaware Oaks winner Dancing a Fleet, and Harissa, winner of the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie. Eclipse champion of Fleet Alex won the Preakness and Belmont by a combined 11 3/4 lengths. A Fleet Alex standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
We are on the road to the Breeders' Cup presented by Gainsway. So Beholder's going to run in the Zenyatta, and provided all goes well, on to the Breeders' Cup Classic for another try against the boys. She handled them pretty easily in that Pacific Classic. But the win in your event for the Classic is the Grade 1 Awesome Again out at Santa Anita today. It'll go as race number 10, 8 p.m. Eastern time is the post time here. Byron, Jude, what do we do with Byron, who, like Rockfall, figures to be favored, won't be as big a favorite as Rockfall, but seems to have enough speed to be the controlling speed and has drawn outside in this field of 8?
Well, you know, I saw that he worked a mile in 1:36 and 4, and I got excited. I thought that was an awesome work. And we had Bodie Miller on Trainer Talk. I think he mentioned it earlier in the show. Last week, Mike and I had a chance to sit down with him for half an hour. And he was talking about his training theories and working horses longer and faster. And that his good friend Bob Baffert told him, you know, he was full of beans, so to speak. And that he didn't know what he was talking about, this and that. But I told Bodie that I see some of Bodie's ideas being incorporated into Baffert's training more maybe than Bob thinks, because they have lengthy conversations evidently on the phone about training horses and styles, and Bodie trying to impress his conditioning ideas from downhill skiing to Baffert in regards to horses. And I see this work here, 36 and 4, you know, that pops off the page, very Charlie Whittingham-esque type work, getting ready for a big race. And I go, wow, this is impressive. I mean, Bayern may have finally turned the corner. So I'm on board. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid today with Bayern, and we'll see what happens. But I like him.
I'm going to try Imperative. Second off the layoff, second off the barn change to Richard Baltus. This horse was fifth in the Pacific Classic, but beaten 2.5 lengths for second as Beholder ran away and hid from the rest of them. I loved the trainer change last time out. The 1.25 off the 5.5 months was probably a little too much. Back to 1.125 today. I think Smooth Roller is going to press Byron today. And I think that'll ultimately be Bayern's undoing. I think Imperative can come running late and get the pieces, pick up the pieces at 6 or 7 to 1. I'll take a little shot with Imperative in that grade one. Awesome. Again, just about a minute left here on this Equine Forum. A fantastic show. We'd like to thank everyone who took part. Ken Toffey, Ned Toffey from Gainesway, from Spendthrift. It's getting late here. I'm not ready for the 2 hours. I'm getting late. It's getting late here. Ned Toffey from Spendthrift. Mr. Ken Ramsey from Ramsey Farms. That one's easy enough. Mike Hammerly, who sat down with the Baron yesterday, the racing secretary out at San Fernando. Of course, Doug O'Neill, who's got a lot going on out at Santa Anita today. Speaking of which, you can catch all the action right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network beginning at 5 p.m. Acacia Courtney and I will be at Belmont. The Baron, Mike Penna, will be with Jeff Bloom out at Santa Anita. All 7 Breeders' Cup women you're in races coming your way. 5 till 8:15, Sirius XM 93. And, of course, streaming live at horseracingradio.net. A lot of fun, Jude. Thanks for sitting in with me this morning.
Had a great time, and good luck to everybody today at the windows.
On behalf of our producer, to the stars here at HR and Lee Delapina, and everybody here at the Horse Racing Radio Network, I'm the Big A, Anthony Stabile, wishing you a fantastic Saturday. A lot of luck. I hope you win all of your photo finishes. Have a great Saturday. We'll talk to you at about 5 o'clock for all the Breeders' Cup action.